Choose your friends really well. Because if there's anything I can teach you that would change your life, it's simply this. Who you spend time with is who you become. You lie down with dogs, you come up with fleas. And I don't care what it is you know. I don't care how smart you are. And let me tell you why. If you're with a friend and they have a lower standard than you have for your life, and you hang out with them, your standards will eventually lower. Not because you want low standards, but because you love them and you don't want to be angry with them all the time. You don't want to be picking a fight with them. You don't want to be on top of their case. So eventually you make it okay for them. And as you make it okay for them, a part of you makes it slightly okay. And it's no longer a must and your standards drop. I remember I did a speech a few years ago for the United States Marines. And the general invited me to come to Camp Pendleton. He said, I want you to talk to the Marines about raising their standards. I thought, the Marines raising their standards? Right? He said, you're the master of this. I want to take these people to another level. So I agreed to do this, and you know, the Marines, they didn't want to pay anything. And they said, could you do it for free? I said, I'd like to serve my country, but what can my country do for me? He said, all right. He said, I want to add value for you too. I said, I'll absolutely do it, but can you arrange something fun for me while I'm there to do also? He goes, got it. So I got there and he let me drive the tanks, shoot, throwing grenades, exploding, and all the stuff you want to do when you're a little kid. But it was real, it was really cool, you know? So now it's time for me to talk, and I'm in the appropriate testosterone state to talk to these men. And he brings these men outside, and at 12 noon I'm speaking, it's 105 degrees, with little exaggeration, between 100 and 105. There, and a bunch of them, maybe 200 of them, were out on a survival thing for 4 days. They have had no food for 4 days. They had one more day, but he didn't want to wait. He wanted to hear me speak. They're in full battle dress with guns and war paint. They're standing like this, and I'm thinking, I better be good. So I got up there. So I get up there, and we rocked them. So at the end, the general came with me, and we were driving, and he's taking me out to fly one of these Apache helicopters. And I said, I'm feeling good at this point, right? And he said, Tony, he said, that was unbelievable. He went on and on. He goes, that's the strongest I've ever seen. That's the most unified I've ever seen. I mean, the most. I said, well, thank you very much. He goes, I got to ask you something. He said, these men and women today, and if not today, certainly their time as a Marine, that will be the highest standard they will ever have for their life. Most of them will never have this kind of standard for their life again when they leave the Marines. Why is that? Is it because people are basically lazy? Is it because people don't care? Is it people have no real drive unless you make them have it? Do they have to be mobilized by someone else? And I said, no, sir, I don't believe so. I said, I believe most people's lives are a reflection of the expectations of their peer group. And he went, whoa. And I thought, whoa, let me write that down. That was really good. I'll say it again. Most people's lives are a direct reflection of the expectations of their peer group. What does this mean? Okay, what's one of the deepest needs we all have? The need for what? Love, okay? And connection, true? And we need to feel like, even, have you ever had somebody love you but you didn't feel worthy of it? How anybody felt this way honestly? Like, you know, I know they love them, but I don't deserve it. Or have you ever had somebody say, I'm so proud of you, and you thought, I didn't do squat. What do you mean you're proud of me? And you they really are proud of you, but you don't accept it. Do you follow what I'm saying? And why didn't you accept it? Because you feel what you did wasn't what enough? Significant enough. Do you follow me on this? They thought it was. So here's what happens. You're in a relationship with someone. Who is your peer group? Your peer group is anyone that you care significantly about what they feel about you. That's who your peer group is. So one time in your life it was your parents, and it may still be, it may no longer be. I don't know about you. So whoever you care, and how many of you can think of someone? Think right now of someone you care. How they feel of you, about you matters a lot to you. Because if they didn't feel good, you wouldn't feel good. How many can think of someone like that in your life? Okay, that's a peer member. That person exerts an enormous, whether you know it or not, amount of influence of how you live your life. Enormous. Because if you have expectations that are much higher than they have, then something's gonna happen. You're gonna be, oh man, I wanna do this, and they're gonna go, hey, mellow out. Come on, don't be so serious. Come on, we got plenty of time. Come on, just take a bite, just one piece. Now, are they trying to hurt you? No, they have a lower expectation for themselves than you have for yourself, so now we have a gap. Now, they're not trying to hurt you, they just don't want to lose you. And if you're now trying to do something more significant, they know that could mean separation. They know that could mean loss. And so what they do is they try to gently, nicely, sometimes not nicely, sometimes harshly, bring you back to earth. When I was in high school, everyone around me was like, hey, mellow out. You don't have to work so hard. You don't have to do this. You don't have to. Come on. And as a result, what happens is if your expectations are higher than your peer group, one of two things happen. Either in order to get their love, you drop to their level, or you bring them up to yours, or you form a new peer group. If you stay in that peer group, you will eventually meet their expectations if you don't lead them. You'll drop to their level because our need for love is so deep in every one of us. True or false? Sooner or later, you don't want to fight all the time, so you go, all right, fine. Pretty soon, you make it okay for them, So whoever you spend time with is who you become. Now here's the challenge. You go, yeah, well, what if my peers are my family? Here's what's interesting. Love your family, choose your peers. Love your family, but choose your peers. Choose who you're going to give the power to determine whether you feel loved or not. Who are you going to give the power to determine significantly how you're going to feel about something? Because otherwise, your life is destined to be like those of the people in your family, some of which may be good, some of which may not. Love your family, choose your peers. That means some of your family members you might want to choose as peers. How many can think of a particular family member which probably would not be the person you'd want to give the power to shape how you feel about yourself? So what do you want to do with that person? Love them, but do not make them your peer. You got to decide. So we were talking about model of the world, and we were saying that through our life's experiences, we have various significant emotional events, SEEs, significant emotional events. What makes an event significant? If it has a significant amount of what or what? Pain or? That's right. Through those, we have learned, sometimes correctly, sometimes incorrectly, ways to meet our six needs. And we've come up with four. The first one is the need for? The second one is the need for? Third need is need for? Fourth is need for? And by the way, do you see the dichotomy between needing certainty and uncertainty? That's interesting, isn't it? And being significant. So you're being significant, you want to be unique. But then when you do that, if you go, oh, but I want to connect. Then when you're all connected, you're like, oh, this is wonderful. Wait a second. I want me. I don't want to just be us. I want me. And you go back to being significant again. People do this all the time. You want both needs. When you can find a way to meet both needs, the paradox disappears. Because paradox is when things appear to be diametrically opposed, but they actually work together. An example. How many of you in this room have ever rented a video of a movie you've already seen? Get a life! Now, why would you do that? Why would you rent a movie you've already seen? Because you're certain it's good, and you're hoping you forgot enough that there's still variety there. Isn't it true? What made it good? When you saw the movie, you connected or associated with the character, so you felt connection. You probably felt significant things happen in that film. There was enough variety, and you were certain at certain times about yourself or what was going to happen. They combine these needs. Now, there are two final needs, which are called the primary needs, 5 and 6. You can meet the first four needs in negative ways. Like, for example, you can get certainty by controlling everybody. Now, that may work for a time, but it doesn't work forever, and it has downsides a long time because it eventually will cost you love and connection. But you can get certainty. You can get variety by doing drugs. You can get significance by tearing everybody else down. And you can get connection by always having problems. So you can meet your needs. In fact, lots of people live this way, don't they? But they're not fulfilled, because to be fulfilled, you have to meet the final two needs, which not everybody does.